like a scuba diver, like a diver's temptation. And these diverse means like different. So he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And I see that verse as simply this. Be happy when times are tough. And then verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But even with just verse 2, I saw that. And I said, how is that possible? How can I be happy and have joy when things are difficult? How can I be excited and smile when I have a trial in my life or a struggle in my life? How is that possible? You may be asking yourself the same question. You may have drove to church today and you're sitting in this pew and no one else knows but you, but you are going through something difficult right now. You are going through a trial right now, the hardest thing you've ever had to face. And you say, Donald, how can I be happy? How can I be happy when I have no money at all? I have no money. I can't pay my bills. How can I be happy when my health is struggling? I have bad health. How can I be happy when so-and-so or so-and-so bothers me and I have a problem with this person at church or at work? And how can I be happy when I know this isn't my life? Or how can I be happy when my marriage is struggling? How can I be happy when I know that it's struggling back home? Maybe you're a teenager and say, you know what, I can't pass my classes. How can I be happy knowing I can't even do well in school? Maybe some of you in here, you say, you know, I have no dad or mom. Or my mom and dad passed away or they left me. And I mean, how can I be happy in something like that? My walk with God is weak. I haven't walked with God. I haven't picked up His book or got on my knees in years. And how can I be happy knowing I'm not close to the one who saved me? Donald, I just lost my job. I got laid off. How can I be happy? I can't keep up with my bills. Hey, Donald, I'm a fake. Everybody knows it. Everybody thinks I'm some happy person, but I'm a fake, and I know it. How can I be happy? And you can fill in the blank right there. How can I be happy? Why should I be happy? I want to talk about that this morning. Lord, we love You. Lord, I thank You for saving me. Lord, I thank You for dying on a cross for me, Lord, loving me enough. Lord, I thank You for this church, Loomis Park Baptist Church, and the blessing they've been to my heart. Lord, I thank You for each and every person that sits this morning in these pews. Lord, I ask You to bless their lives. Help them to listen this morning, God, and get something from the message, Lord, and answer the question in their hearts of why should they be happy? Why should I be happy? Lord, I'm going to give 3 reasons this morning, Lord, that I believe you gave me. I know You gave them to me. Help to be a help and encouragement to someone this morning. Lord, You're the best. You're awesome. I love You. In Your precious name, amen. Why should I be happy? Why should I be happy? That's the title this morning. Why should I be happy? Why? All those problems we just listed. I want to give 3 reasons I believe each and every single one of us, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you're going through, there are 3 reasons, and there's more than 3, but I'm going to give you 3 of why we can be happy. First reason is simply this. Why can I be happy? Why should we be happy? Because somebody loves me. Somebody loved me. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Somebody loves me. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Why should I be happy? Because somebody loves me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says in verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 says this, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why should I be happy? Why should we be happy? Because somebody loves you. Somebody loves me. That verse, Romans 38 and 39, gives that whole list of things that can't separate us from God's love. Hey, I could add a few. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor divorce, nor trials, nor the loss of a job, nor an unpaid bill, nor a forsaken child who's away from God. Hey, none of that can separate you from the love of God. No matter what you do in your life, no matter what the Lord has placed in your life, no matter what, God still loves you. No matter how bad you've been, no matter what sins you have in your life, and you say, man, no one loves me. No one could love me for the stupid things I've done. Hey, I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ, Almighty God, loves you. Loves you. And that's a reason to be happy. That is a reason to be happy because somebody loves me. We know the song. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me. A sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me. Somebody loves me. Hey, that makes me happy. That's the reason I can be happy, because I know somebody loves me. How do I know that Jesus loves me? This I know. This I know. Because one, he saved me. Jesus Christ saved me. I've given the testimony before, and I don't get sick of telling it again. September 9, 2001, I was 11 years old. I was sitting in Pioneer Valley Baptist Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. I was running the sound system in the back, doing the tapes. And I'll never forget sitting there next to the little tape deck and pushing the button, all that stuff. And I'll never forget knowing I was on my way to hell. Man, every night, every single night, people thought I was saved, by the way. Hey, they thought I was saved. I'd made a profession of faith when I was a young kid, but I didn't even remember it, didn't know what it was, didn't know anything about it. And I knew every single night when I put my head on that pillow that I was on my way to a fiery hell. I knew I was a sinner, and every single night I'd say a quick prayer of salvation just to get it taken care of. That wasn't the way it's supposed to be. I'd say, Lord, please save me, I'm scared. Didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. And I remember that day, September 9th, 2001, as the pastor gave the invitation, I stood to my feet and he gave the call for salvation. I stood there. My palms began to sweat. I began to get clammy. I began to shake. I began to sweat. And I said, I am done fighting. Hey, I'm done being scared. And I walked to that altar and I knelt down and I had heard the plan of salvation many times before. And I said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell, but you love me enough to die for me. Lord, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sins. I'm trusting you to get me there. And that day he saved me. That's the way I know that he loves me. He loves me because he died for me. And each one of us, if you're saved, you can go back to a time in your life when the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. You can remember, maybe it's not the same story as me, but you remember a time, maybe it was someone knocking your door or you were in church service and you know you were unsaved and the Lord saved your soul. That's a reason to be happy. That's a way you can know that he loves you. Because he saved you. How else do I know? You know how else I know? Not only he saved me, but he provides for me. The Lord Jesus Christ provides for me time after time in my life. Man, even in the first 2 years I've been married, it gets tough. Everybody says that first year of marriage is the most difficult. And I said, I'll be fine. I've known Marissa for a while. No, it was difficult. It was difficult. Man, I was a temp at my job and they'd lay me off for a couple weeks and then take me back because of the job was slow. And man, it got difficult sometimes. Hey, there were times when I didn't know if I was going to be able to pay the bill. Hey, there were times when the lights went out because I couldn't pay the electric bill. But I'll say this much. Although the lights may have gone out in my house, the light never went out in my soul. Jesus was still there. He was still there providing for me. And every single time, hey, I never went hungry. My wife never went hungry. We never had any unprovision. The Lord provided every single time. Every time. And I know he loves me. Hey, not only that, but he protects me. The Lord protects me. Man, I drove all the way over out from Massachusetts out here. Not one problem. He protects me every day when I drive. Hey, he protects our buses as they drive every single Sunday. He protects us. I'll never forget driving back home when I was about 15 in Holyoke and the roads were slick and I took a left turn. My Jeep began to slide all over the road and finally I gained control. And the first thing I thought was, wow, you're a pretty good driver, Donald. No, that's not what I thought. I thought, you know what? Thank you, God, for keeping me safe. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. How do I know he loves me? Because he protects me. And you know how else I know he loves me? And this is the easiest one. Is because he tells me he does. You see what I'm saying? Hey, he told me he loved me. That's all I need to hear. Hey, I could not pay my bills for the rest of my life, and I could maybe get injured or something. I don't care. I know that he loves me because he told me he did. He told me He did. So why should we be happy? Why should you be happy? Because somebody loves you. Somebody loves you. That's a reason to be happy. Somebody loves you. So why else should we be happy? Somebody loved me. But also, I believe, number two, why should we be happy? Because somebody is watching me. Somebody is watching you. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Let me read that one more time and think about it. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." An example of the believers in word, in what we say, in conversation, in how we act, in charity, in our love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. We are an example. Why should we be happy? Why should we smile? Why should we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts? Not only because somebody loved me, because somebody's watching me. Somebody's watching me. I never know who's watching me. I never know. Okay, sooner or later, it's going to be my little son. He's going to grow up, get a little older. He's going to be watching Daddy. And is he going to want to see Daddy coming home from work saying, "Man, I don't know how I'm going to finish this. Man, I don't know how we're going to pay this bill. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't," and have a miserable attitude. I don't think my son's going to want to see that. And if he does see it, it might rub off on him. I never know who's watching me. It could be one of your Sunday school kids. Hey, it could be your kids. Hey, it could be someone at work. It could be a coworker. It could be a friend or a family member or an unsaved loved one. Somebody's always watching you and seeing how you react to situations. Man, someone comes into your life and you have an unsaved loved one and you get a trial that comes in and hits your heart. Man, do you have faith in God and trust Him and keep that joyful spirit? Or do you get miserable and get down and out and get out of church and your unsaved loved one sees that and says, "Man, I guess that God can't supply their need. I guess that God can't keep them happy." Somebody is watching you. Why should we be happy? Because somebody is watching me. Hey, what are we showing them? What are we showing those who are watching us? Hey, do they see the joy of the Lord in my heart? Do they see the joy of the Lord in my face? Or do they see a miserable Christian? A person who's saved on the way to heaven. Do they see a miserable Christian? When people watch you, do they see a miserable Christian? Someone that's always at the drop of a hat, upset, miserable. I hope not. And in my life, I hope not. Hey, I don't want my son to grow up thinking that the ministry is a negative thing. I don't want to grow up saying, "Man, I don't want to ever be a youth pastor because poor dad's always stressed out and bothered. I don't want to do that. Those teenagers must be killing him." I don't want that. I want Donald to grow up and say, "Wow, serving God is the best thing ever. Hey, serving God and going to church is one of the funnest things I could ever do because, hey, dad's having a good time. Hey, dad's loving the Lord. Hey, dad's doing what's right. Hey, that looks fun. I want to do that." Hey, why should we be happy? Because somebody is watching you. Somebody is watching you. And you know what? You never know how they'll react. You never know how they'll react. Maybe that one time when you decide to maybe let it affect you in a negative way. Could be a one Sunday morning, you're teaching your Sunday school class. And man, you got up and you were late to church and you're upset and you're mad and maybe the car broke down or the flat tire or something's bothering you and you're a Sunday school teacher and man, your attitude just is not that good today. And you go into class, say, "All right, kids, let's go." And you start your Sunday school class up. You never know. There could be one little kid in there who's watching you. And you know what? Kids may be crazy, but they're not stupid. They're not stupid. We were all kids once. We know. And they see that. And they see that attitude. And it rubs off on them. There could be a kid or maybe a kid that rides a bus who's on the verge of being done with church. And he comes to church and he sees his own teacher miserable. Why would he want to stay? Somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. That's a reason to be happy. Hey, maybe the problem is you're a different person at church than you are at home. I don't know. And your kids see that. Or maybe your parents see that in you teens. Whoever it is. People are always watching. And you know what? Your attitude about life can rub off on those around you. Especially those who are close to you. Your attitude about life can rub off on those around you. Maybe parents, you say, "Man, why are my kids always so miserable?" Maybe because you are. I don't know. Ask yourself. You say, "You know, Donald, why do they always complain?" Maybe you do. Or you say, you know, the teens say, "Donald, why do my parents always act stressed out and depressed?" Well, how are you acting? Your attitude about life rubs off on those around you. It's just the way it is. And you know what? Be that person who has the happy spirit when everybody else doesn't. Hey, that's a good goal to set in your life. Hey, be that happy person when everybody else around you is miserable. Hey, be the one that's smiling. You know those people that are miserable usually hate that guy? But I'll take it. Say, hey, I'm happy. You want to be miserable? Go ahead. And you know what? Be that person. We always hear, there's a quote, I guess the whole world probably uses it. It says, smile, Jesus loves you. And it's all over billboards and stuff like that. And they have tracks made up about it. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, that is such a true statement. Smile, Jesus loves you. We have every reason to smile. How often do we smile? You know, sometimes it's hard. In churches that I've been in preaching or anywhere, there's sometimes you're sitting up there and you're waiting to lead a song and you're looking out and people just don't look too happy. Sometimes you'll be leading a song at different churches and you'll be leading and smile, hey, you know, we got the joy of the Lord, and you look out and people are just, you don't look very happy. There's no smiles. Smile. Smile. Hey, there's a reason to be happy. Somebody's always watching. Somebody's always watching. So why should we be happy? Because somebody loves me. Hey, because somebody's watching me. And thirdly, this. Why should we be happy? Because somebody wants to use me. Somebody wants to use me. Why should you be happy? Because somebody wants to use you. Somebody wants to use you. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Somebody wants to use me. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Somebody wants to use me. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Why should we be happy? Because somebody wants to use you. Somebody wants to use me. God has a specific plan for each and every one of us, no matter how young or how old you are. God has a specific plan for each and every one of us. When we were born, the Lord knew what he wanted us to do. He knew it. He had a plan for every single one of us. But why would he use an unhappy person? Think about it. Why would God want to use an unhappy person? You know that you probably wouldn't get hired at other places? Could you imagine a Walmart greeter walking in, going to get your shopping done, and you got someone at the front door handing out smiley face stickers like this? Welcome to Walmart. They wouldn't hire you there. Could you imagine, and this actually is true, unfortunately, but they do, McDonald's. You order a Happy Meal. I'd like one Happy Meal, please. A Happy Meal with a little boy toy, please. A Happy Meal. And how do the people act? Getting the stuff ready. And here you go. Here's your Happy Meal. Here's your Happy Meal. You know what? If they won't use you, you think God's going to want to use you? You think God's going to want to use an unhappy person? I don't think so. And not only in any day job, but in the work of the Lord especially. As a preacher, I've got to be happy. I've got to be happy. Hey, our preacher's got to be happy, and he is, praise the Lord. But could you imagine a pastor, a preacher, who's up in his pulpit trying to lead his church, unhappy, trying to get people to want to serve God when he looks miserable? Hey, I've got to be happy. Hey, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you've got to be happy. You're doing the work of the Lord. You're doing God's work. No matter how many kids you have in your Sunday school, you're doing God's work, and you should be happy. Because God's using you. And God wants to use you in an even greater way. But he can't unless you got that good spirit about you. That smile on your face. Maybe it's as a youth pastor, even as a church member. As a church member, are you happy? Are you happy to be part of a local body of Christ? With fellowship with other Christians and with it's not like we do nothing. Hey, we got 85 different inserts for activity this week. Man, we have a reason to be happy. As a church member, you have a reason to be happy. You have a reason to. Somebody wants to use you. Hey, God wants to use you as a church member. You don't have to be a preacher or a youth pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a Christian school teacher to be used of God. You can be used of God sitting right here. You can be used of God by singing out and praising God. Hey, you can be used of God by shaking hands with somebody never shaken hands with before. You can be a used of God by reaching out to someone who maybe other people won't reach out to. You can be used of God as a church member. And God wants to use happy people. Happy people. Why should we be happy? Because somebody wants to use us. Somebody wants to use us. You know, the challenge today is simply this. Simply this. Be happy no matter what. Be happy no matter what. Can we do something? Why everybody just smile right now? Smile at me, please. Smile. Are we smiling? Yay! Teeth. Come on, teeth is what really counts. I don't care if you got braces. You know what? That looks great. That's the kind of church that's fun to preach to. Right there. With the smiles. Man, somebody loves you. Somebody loves you. Somebody's watching you. And somebody wants to use you. Hey, be happy no matter what. If you believe the Bible, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. How much easier, how much more practical does it get? That's not hard to understand. Hey, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You're having a bad day? You're having a bad day? Well, then change it into a good day. We decide. Hey, you decide how you react to situations. It's not like it's a forced thing. You decide. Someone comes into your life, you make the decision. I'm either going to be miserable or I'm going to be happy. You make the decision. No matter what comes into your life, no matter how dark it may seem, we decide. He gives us the opportunity to trust Him or to be miserable. We decide. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So be happy no matter what. You know what else we can do is to help us be happy is to start thanking God for all He's done. Start thanking God for all He's done. You know what I did at college? Thanksgiving Day at college. It's a good idea. It's helped me a lot. But I just took a piece of paper, I ripped it out of a journal, and I wrote 1 to 100. And then I just started writing down things I'm thankful for. Man, I just did. And I'm not puffing myself up at all. This could be more on this list. Everybody's list could be this long, even longer. I wrote the most random things down. I'm thankful for my hands. Hey, I am. I would hate not to have any hands. That'd be horrible. I'm thankful for my feet. I'm thankful for the Lord putting up with me. I put that in here too. He puts up with me. I'm thankful for that. Hey, you know what you can do? Get a piece of paper out. Put 1 to 100, put 1 to 10, and start writing down what you're thankful for. It reminds you. It reminds you how good God is. Hey, you know what? Sometimes when I'm down and out, I'm down and out, I can take this out and say, you know what? Hey, wait a second. I don't have it that bad. Hey, I don't have it that bad. Hey, my problem actually seems a little bit smaller now, looking at this. Wow, God's done some great things for me. And I can start thanking God for what He's done. And that gives me a happy spirit. That gives me a happy spirit. There's a song, I've sung it before. It goes like this. It's, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for, you see. He's been so good to me. And when I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Man, I've got so much to thank Him for. I've got so much to thank Him for. Hey, start thanking God for all He's done. These are reasons, these are ways to help you to be happy. And you know what else helps you to be happy? Is by telling others how good God is. By telling others how good God is. Psalm 66:16. Let's turn there. We're just about done. Psalms chapter 66. Start telling others how good God's been. Man, you say, that's too hard. I can't tell other people how good God's been. Why not? Anybody can. Psalms chapter 66, verse 16. You need to circle this verse, underline it, cut it out. Don't cut it out. But do something to it so you can remember this verse. Psalms 66 and verse 16 pretty much sums up the Christian life. Sums up why we can be happy. And that's simply this. Psalm 66:16 says, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. That's what it says. Come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. Has the Lord ever done anything negative for you? No, He hasn't. Has the Lord ever done anything bad to you? No. God's all about greatness and goodness. And if we're going to declare all that He's done for my soul, Man, that's going to make me happy. Because God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me. And that's a reason why I can be happy. That's a reason why. Start telling others how good He is. Hey, whether it's at your workplace, or at school, or even at home. Hey, start telling others how good God is. Because He's so good. He's so good to you. I don't even know your story, but I know that God is good to you. I know that He is. Because I know He's good to me. And that's a reason to be happy. Hey, why should we be happy? You thought that problem in your heart, whatever you're going through right now, why should you be happy? You know, because somebody loves you. Somebody loves you. Because somebody's watching you. Someone might be living their life based on you. You don't know. Somebody's watching you and somebody wants to use you. Somebody wants to use you. But you can't use an unhappy person. Leave this church today. When we close the invitation out and we're dismissed home, leave this room happy. Leave it happy. Hey, God's been good to you. Man, you got three reasons right there, and there's more and more and more reasons why. But there's just three. That should be good enough. Hey, you know what? The fact that He saved me should be good enough. That's all I need. But we're human. But think about all He's done for you. Leave this church a happy Christian. God wants to use happy Christians. Hey, God is probably not going to bless an unhappy church. That's just the way it is. God's not going to bless an unhappy church. Hey, God's not going to bless an unhappy pastor. Praise the Lord, He's happy. God's not going to bless an unhappy youth group. God's not going to bless an unhappy youth pastor's youth group. He's not going to do it. And you know what I want God to do? I want God to bless this church. I want God to grow this church. Hey, I want God to fill these pews. I want God to fill this choir. I want God to fill that balcony. Hey, that's a goal I've set in my heart. I want to see people sitting up there. I want that. But do you really think someone that comes for the first time into Loomis Park Baptist Church and doesn't get a smile the second he walks in? And praise the Lord for our door greeters. They're awesome. But as he comes in and begins to see, does he feel like he's in a happy church, a friendly, exciting church? Or does he feel like he's in most of the churches in America? God will bless a happy church. Be that happy church. Somebody loves you, somebody's watching you, and somebody truly and honestly wants to use your life. Believe that. Please believe that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes.